In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. You probably noticed, I'm sure immediately, that we were repeating some verses from last week's gospel lesson. The lectionary did that, it wasn't me. I just want to clarify that, although those words are hard, which I suspect is why we hear them consecutively 2 weeks in a row in this particular season of this year. So verses 56 through 58 of chapter 6, you heard last week. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. And then we pick up with the new material. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Not just in the street, not just hanging out with his friends and his followers, but in the synagogue. He is doing this teaching in Capernaum. And it's not going well. We've already heard that in this process through going through John. And it goes even more sideways this morning. As Jesus is making this radical statement of a life with him, he is also inviting us and those who are listening into this life in Christ, this new relationship with God, one in which people have understood themselves as chosen, but not able to see God, not even able to say God, and now he is stating, you are going to consume the flesh of the Son of God and drink the blood of the Son of God, and I will abide in you and you in me. This is a new concept, and it's not catching on immediately, and he gets a little bit of kickback, and we discover that following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Who can accept it? And typical of Jesus, he says, but Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said, does this offend you? And I have a slightly different take on the way in which Jesus moves than the way some other people move. We see from time to time this concept that Jesus was always very warm and fuzzy and loving and the rest of it, which I believe is true. Well, he's always loving, but he's a different kind of loving for me. I love my children. Well, I do that, my children. Well, actually, they're more here. But either way, age-wise, they're here. And when they were little, you know, small children, they would do things that weren't in their best interest. And sometimes they weren't really smart things. You know, you get out of the car and they take off running across a parking lot like there's no other cars. You know what I mean. They want to walk into the street without looking. I mean, how much time do we spend? Take my hand, hold my hand, let's walk to the street. What do you do when you come to the street? You look both ways. Why do we do that? Because we don't want them to run into the street. Now, my children were raised at a time that if they ran into the street without it, parents immediately looked angry and would grab a hold of them and pull them out of the street, and maybe somebody would get, you know, spanked on the butt or something or warned. And we said that this was loving. And in many ways it was. Because if we didn't love them, we would have just let them stand in the street and go, okay, whoo, here comes a car. We love them enough to correct them and guide them. Jesus loves us enough to correct us and guide us. And it's not always pleasant. So in the midst of this conversation, he goes, does this offend you? And in a sense, I hear him this way, and you may hear it different, and that's fine. He goes, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? I mean, if this offends you, what are you going to do when you see me ascend back to the Father? What's going to happen when you see me crucified, die, and be resurrected? If this offends you, boy, you better get ready. Jesus is offending them because he's changing their entire thought process. He's bringing them to a full different understanding of what it means to be in relationship with God. And then things continue to go downhill, don't they? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." And verse 66, here comes the fallout. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. People couldn't follow him anymore. They thought this was a good thing. They thought this Jesus was going to answer all their questions in the way that they wanted them answered. They thought they were going to get a rebel leader that they could raise up to be king to save them from the oppression of the Romans, and what they were getting was a savior who was going to save them from the sin and death. And they didn't understand. And when it didn't go the way they wanted it to go, and when he said something that was too hard for them, they went down the road. They couldn't follow him anymore. This really hasn't changed a lot for the church. We still come to the church often looking for answers. Good plan. The question is, are we willing to hear what Jesus is saying to us? Are we willing to let it change our lives? Or are we looking for an answer that fits into the life we already have? And I think sometimes the way the church has presented Jesus in recent century or so, people come looking for this Jesus that's just going to love them just as they are and let them run into the street, even if a car is coming. And Jesus doesn't work like that. There's this poem called Footprints in the Sand. I would say it's a lovely poem, but it's just not my style. You know the poem, I look back at my life and I saw the scenes, and there were times when I noticed there were two sets of footprints, and there were times when I noticed, to God, that there was only one. Why did you abandon me? And the poem, this is a paraphrase obviously, goes, "Well, I never abandoned you, that's when I carried you." And I'm not saying that God's never carried me through my life, but this is more like my life with Jesus. Where you see one set of footprints is where I carried you, the long groove is where I dragged you kicking and screaming. See, that is my understanding, that's my relationship with Jesus. But it's not because he forced me to be drug along, it's because I said, "I don't know what to do," and I dug my heels, and he goes, "Do you want to come with me?" I'm like, "Yes." He goes, "Well, come with me," and like, "I just don't know how." And he said, "Just grabbed a hold," and he drugged me anyway. Yeah, it's just different for me. The whole warm fuzzy thing is nice, but I see my spiritual growth and my spirituality as a muscle. Think about your spirituality as a muscle. I don't know, I have worked muscles, not on purpose, and gotten up the next day and went, "Woof, man, my legs are aching," climbing that ladder up and down all day yesterday or whatever it was. And I realize I have worked a muscle, and I can feel it, and it's not pleasant. So people who work out and people who, you know, try to build up the strength of their body, they have a wonderful saying that says, "No pain, no gain." That is my spiritual life. I mean, I don't know how it works for you. And when I see a passage like we see here today, I go, "Yeah, exactly." How much more would those people have grown if they'd heard that hard thing from Jesus and said, "I don't get it, I'm not understanding it, but I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to walk this, and I'm going to see how it changes me, and we'll see if it changes me." Or we can go, "Not really what I thought it was, so I'm just going to go ahead and look for something else that fulfills my earthly desire. Maybe I'll go to a church down the road where I think the music is better, and then I can at least enjoy the music." Not that the music isn't good here. Just want to clarify that before we start an uprising in the next service. And it's exceptional at this service, by the way, wherever he went. But brothers and sisters, I say this to you because I hear Jesus challenging those who follow him. And the ones who follow him, some saying, okay, and others going, I'm out. It's too hard. Well, it is hard, by the way. If you are truly going to engage Christ at the level in which he's invited you, to a place where he dwells in you and you dwell in him, where you are in an abiding relationship with God, it will change your life. It will be difficult. It will reach a point where you have to look at something you care deeply about that is a part of who you think you are and hear Jesus say to you, not anymore. And then you have to decide, do I follow his way or do I follow mine? And in this passage today, many went on their way. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And here's the most important part. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Just like when we grew up, and just like our children, if they haven't grown up, they will. We can look back at the things that our parents did on our behalf, and hopefully our children will look back at the things we did on their behalf, even when they didn't want us to do it, even when we were grounded for potentially months at a time. We were set free by the boundaries that were set. And we can look back and say, I see that what they did for me was good. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is not so different. We can move through these hard things when we come up against them and just say, well, I don't understand it, Lord, but I think you want me to be here and you want me to do it this way, so I'm going to try it. Even when it means setting down a big part of who I thought I was and letting it go. Even if it means I have to cut my hair and get rid of my earrings. It wasn't that easy, but I did it. He's calling us to be transformed. And when we have walked through that transformative relationship with Jesus Christ, we can then share it and become what the world refers to as and what God has referred to. Be my witness. Our witness to the world is that which Christ has done in us and through us. And as we ponder this today, there's really only one question. Can we look at Jesus and say, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God? And then we have to decide, how far will we let him drag us? Amen.